God called my guests to go to the Brownsville Revival. Nothing happened to him until the bus ride home. He was supernaturally translated to another place in time and shown the future. What he saw has just started. Next.
It's supernatural.
Welcome, Holy Spirit. Go and flow. My guest, Joseph Z, saw the supernatural at the Brownsville Revival, but it didn't affect him. Disappointed, he took the long bus ride home. Then it happened. What happened?
I'll tell you, Sid, I was in the Brownsville Revival. It was this amazing time, but I wasn't having the encounter I was believing I was going to have. But I'm going from that meeting, walking across the parking lot, get on this bus. Now, as I'm walking on the bus, I begin to go find my seat. And as I was sitting down on the seat on the bus, suddenly I was no longer on the bus. I stepped out of that circumstance and I saw myself, or not saw myself, as real as it is right now. I was standing on a location where everything, as far as my eyes could see, was concrete. And as I'm standing in this place, I looked to the ground, I looked up, and then suddenly I looked at my hand, and in my right hand was a small white seed in this scenario. And I had the prompting or the unction, like a voice, tell me, take the seed and throw it, cast it in front of you. Throw it out. And I began to do this. I took my arm back and I threw this seed. And Sid, when it arced up in the air, like a little seed would, suddenly it came down and it fell with the force of several tons, this seed did. It struck the ground, and the ground, this concrete, burst up like in a cone shape. It broke open, dirt flew up from the middle, and then remaining was a giant crater in front of me. I'm looking at this. It must have been 20, 30 or more feet across. I'm looking into this, and suddenly a voice roared through my being and said, "So shall your words be to the hearts of men." And I recognized that was happening, and the Lord showed me this was a time to come in the future when people's hearts would become so hard and so callous to the things of God, it was going to take a now revelatory word to break them and shake them out of their situations. And I recognized the call of God on my life to be a watchman, a truth speaker, and a prophetic voice for what was to come in the future, because there would be a day where people weren't listening properly.
Okay, let's take you back to the beginning. Tell me a bit about your childhood.
Okay.
Your family.
At a very young age, I was raised on a ranch. I was raised on a cattle ranch. I had family members that were majorly into real estate. They did stuff. My grandfather was an excellent real estate person. He was just had a sense from the Lord, I believe, for how to do that. On the other side of my family, we were, I would say, a group of people that didn't really believe in God very much. And they were very much about building legacy, building family. And so I was raised in this environment.
You had told me your mom and your grandmom were both strong believers.
They sure were, yeah.
Were they prophetic at all?
They were prophetic. They would see visions. They would see dreams. It was part of my childhood. So at 9 years old, I'm living, and my parents were separated. My father was separated from my mother, and he had a ranch, and my mother was a believer in the Lord. And as I'm with my father's ranch at this time at 9, I'm doing my work out in a field, and I'm way out in the back 40, so to speak, when suddenly, like a wind over the trees, I heard my voice called. I heard my voice shouted over the treetops like an echo. And it was so distinct, and it happened so many times, I thought it was my father calling me. So I jumped on an ATV, I drove all the way back to the house, and I went to him and I said, "Why did you call me? What do you want? You know, you're yelling for me, I'm not working." He said, "I didn't call you. Get back to work." And this occurrence continued to happen in my life. And I began to have this. And one thing led to another, and experiences in my life where I'd sense things, I'd know things about people when I came in the room. And God just began to show me things about people, things. I didn't know it was the Lord until after I'd really given my heart to Jesus, and it began to develop in it with the Word of God. And I started recognizing these gifts and callings can be in people from birth. And it's things we have to discover through the Word of God. Now, there's different classes for that. but things that we have to discover through the Word of God with these gifts. And I found it in my life.
You actually said you were kidnapped as a young man.
I was.
Tell me about that.
Well, now, one side of my family did not want me to participate in anything of God. They didn't want it. They rejected it wholesale. No thank you. So my grandparents and my mother all came together one day, and they came up with a great idea. They said, hey, kids, let's take a ride in the RV. Let's take a little ride. And we were like, great. And my siblings were with me. So we get in this RV and we're driving and driving and driving, and suddenly we realize we're not going home. We're not going to go meet this other appointment. We're not going to go to the other family's house. And we went to a camp. And I got to tell you, we realized we had been kidnapped by my grandparents. They wanted to take us to a Holy Ghost fire baptized Christian camp. Some of my siblings weren't real happy about this. I thought, this is an adventure. What's happening? So we get to this location, and when we got there, there was a speaker at this camp that was moving in signs, wonders, and miracles. His name was Dave Duell. And Dave Duell was at this camp, and I know that he's been with you. And
Yes.
And we were there, and I walked out, and I'd never seen anything like this. Wild miracles, completely unconventional, really hard on religion, but I loved it. I'm in this meeting, and I'm watching people get healed. I'm watching miracles take place. I watched a witch confront some of the ministry that was going on, and then the demons came flying out of this witch, and people are screaming.
That's quite an education you're getting.
I got thrown in the deep end, Sid. And when this happened, I saw my brother, who had a twisted ankle, go up for prayer, and God straightened his ankle out right in front of me, and he was taller when he stood back up. God corrected his feet. And so I used to have this allergy to bee stings, all this stuff, and so I wanted to get prayer. I went up, I got prayer, and the Spirit of God knocked me down so hard, knocked me unconscious, healed this bee sting problem I had. And I'll tell you, it just changed my life. It absolutely revolutionized my life. And from that point, after being kidnapped by my grandparents, I came back from that a changed person. I said, I'm standing in this meeting. It got so big in this little chapel we were in that it ended up outside in the outdoors, in the woods practically. And we're all meeting out there. It was powerful. And Dave stops while he's ministering. It went into a place of prophecy, and all my antennas went up. I thought, what is this about? Spirit knows spirit. Gifting knows gifting. And I'm watching this, and he began to prophesy about Mikhail Gorbachev. He prophesied Mikhail Gorbachev because that was during a coup that was taking place, I think in 1991 or 1990. And when this had happened, he said, this is going to be over very quickly, and it's going to be over just like this, and here's the timing of it, and we're going to see this happen, and all will be well. And then shortly after that, while these meetings were carrying on, exactly what he prophesied came into play. But it was the way the Spirit of the Lord came on him. It wasn't spooky, it wasn't strange, but it was very accurate, and the Spirit bore witness to it. And it was like a dinner bell was ringing for me. It was saying, pay attention to this, Joseph. Look at your future, Joseph. This is something I'm calling you to do. And I'll tell you, Sid, I saw that, and it impacted me so much. But I carried that a moment with me and that experience, and I went back, and boy, I'll tell you, the other side of the family did not want anything to do with it. But I was changed.
All right. Speaking about the prophetic,
yes.
I heard actually today about a prophecy you have that's just starting to happen.
Yeah.
It had to do about the year of fire. And 10 cities. Explain that.
25, people asked me for years, what is 25 about? And the Lord spoke to me and said, that will be a year of fire, purifying, and shaking. And with that, I got this word, which could be 25 and beyond, but I got a word called Decapolis. I've carried this word for over a decade.
What does that mean?
It means Deca, 10, 10 cities. And I saw 10 cities or Decapolis burning simultaneously. And if people have watched us on our live broadcast, we have these things date stamped. I go live, I say this stuff with the whiteboard and all that. But Decapolis, I see 10 cities burning and 25 being the year of fire, that it would begin to burn this year. And then I see 26, a wonderful example of what I believe God's going to do to reclaim things, rebuild things. I call that the year of picking up sticks. Miracle recoveries, miracle picking up the pieces and putting it back together. 27, I believe, will be a year of a revival, a wake-up call. And I see in this first part of 2025, quarter one and quarter two, if we can avoid a nuclear incident, if one does not get let off the leash, I believe that we will see the goodness of the Lord get us to the month of July, and then we're going to turn the corner, and then the turn of the tide begins. That's when it really begins, in July. I sense that so powerfully, and it's something I've been praying about, because so many people are saying, oh, it's going to be this, it's going to be that. I had a word that we've got to intercede for the president-elect, 47, because I saw the shepherd being struck. Even on July 13th, the morning of July 13th, 8 hours before the assassination attempt, where he was shot in the ear, our live viewers were there, and I shouted out, I said, I see the shot heard around the world. And the shot heard around the world would release then not only this attempt where they would try to strike the shepherd, which was a prophecy we had, but it would create a populist revival that would begin to drive things forward. So after the shot heard around the world, this populist thing was going to be like a Paul Revere wake-up call to the nation and the nations. So the Lord showed me at that moment that God had saved America. We are not out of the woods yet. We are not out of the fire yet. But it was a turning point, and I believe now we have to get to July, past quarter one and quarter two, because Sid, I had a dream about the spring and beyond. I had a dream where I was on a bus. We were driving through foothills towards a city. And as we were driving through these foothills, I was looking out and I was trying to identify the landscape I was in. I saw the city, I saw the foothills, I recognized passengers all over this bus with me. And in it, suddenly, we were aware there was great tragedy about to happen. Something very scary was about to happen. And everybody knew it. And then there was, as if there was an alarm that went off. I looked, and in the distance, there was a flash of light. And this flash of light got brighter and brighter. And suddenly, all of us bent down on the bus, ducked down. And when I did, the skin on my neck and back began to heat up intensely. And I woke up. And the Spirit of the Lord told me, the church is the nuclear deterrent into this coming season. The same way we won the November scenario, I believe is the same way we go forward and deter nuclear activity, whether it's dirty bombs, suitcases, whatever. I believe we can see the goodness of the Lord prevail in that. Quarter one and quarter two is a time of intercession till we get to 2026, but July is the turn of the tide.
Now, there came a time in which you were given a prophetic word.
Yeah.
And you really didn't want to give it. The reason was, it was against everything, really, against everything he believed. Tell you what, when we come back, he not only gave it, it came to pass. We'll be right back.
Joseph Z's new book and exclusive new prophetic CD set, recorded with his daughter Allison, prepares you to discern and protect yourself from false prophets and prophetic echo chambers, even from within the church. Get powerful keys to unlock prophetic revelations and apply them. Realize America's faithfulness in standing with Israel determines America's longevity. Become prophetically attuned when you hear more about drones, strange weather, false flag operations, loss of satellites, and more.
The Lord spoke something to me about the next 4 years for America and the nations. We're going to go through a time of redemptive instability. We're talking about wars, rumors of wars. I see miracles involving borders and an economic miracle that God wants to bring forward.
God gave Joseph Z and his daughter Allison prophetic visions to prepare you, the church, and the nations for what is coming in the next 4 years. Experience the prophetic declarations they speak over you in their CDs about wealth and land transfer, recovery of things you thought were lost forever, memories healed from traumatic events, and so much more. Call or go online at sidroth.org/10068 with your donation of $36 or more with free shipping for Joseph Z's new book, Demystifying the Prophetic: Understanding the Voice of God for the Coming Days of Fire. You will also receive his exclusive new prophetic 2-CD set, What is the Lord Saying for These Next 4 Years?
Joseph Z, tell me about the prophetic word that caused you to almost go against everyone else's prophetic words.
I'd had two dreams in 2018 and 2019. and even an angelic encounter during that time. But the two dreams were this. I woke up, and when I woke up, it was the day after the election, the 2020 election. And I woke up two different times, and I saw the television, and I heard a voice say, Trump lost. And I thought, what? He said, Trump lost.
Everyone was saying he would win.
Everyone was saying he'd win. And I had this unction where the Spirit of the Lord said, I want you to prophesy this. And so I thought, what? And I'm looking at this thinking, what do I say? So I go live and I told people at our meetings afterwards and I'd say, I had two visions. I saw Trump lose and the Spirit told me it will be through a technology. And when this happened, I'll tell you.
He would lose because of this technology.
Because of a technology. So I personally believe if all things were equal, he won. But I really think the Spirit of the Lord was showing me the public thing that was going to happen in the public eye. And so when this took place, I saw this, I prophesied it and said, I got to tell you, people stayed away from me by the thousands at that point. They were telling me, advisors were saying, you need to get on track with this. Listen to what everybody's saying. You need to prophesy like them. And I said, I can't. I can only say what I've seen. And I will not go beyond what the Lord's shown me. Otherwise, I'm violating my own conscience. I'm violating what the Lord showed me, what I believe He showed me. So when I did this, I declared it. It created a little bit of a lull for us. But I'll tell you, I stood on that, and I believe the Lord gave us a insight into what was coming and how to navigate it.
You talk about a term I haven't heard before, but it makes sense.
Okay.
Prophetic echo chambers.
Yes.
Expound on that.
Prophetic echo chambers is something where you're so familiar hearing a certain thing that you get a normalcy bias to it. In other words, you hear something so much as a prophetic person that instead of following the Word of God and what God's speaking to you, you fall in line with everyone else. You hear it so much that you finally think, well, they must be right, I'm wrong, and so let's get on this avenue. And that is not the way God's called us to operate as prophetic people. Now, we're submitted one to another, we surrender, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. But we do have to recognize that sometimes when people are saying a thing, that is almost an institutionalization of a revelation. And when something gets institutionalized, the breath leaves it, and now you're left with an institutional setting that doesn't have the juice or the voltage or the anointing which breaks the yoke. And so God brings people that are prophets, He brings reformers back to that to not destroy the institution, but breathe life into it and say, no more echo chamber, let's get clear-eyed, clear-minded, let's get a now word from the Lord, and let's walk in humility. Because this is not a season where we're giving a direct a translation from God, we're giving interpretation, and we must know what the Spirit is saying by the written word of God. So that's how we defeat that.
All right. Now, this next question is so important. I love the way you phrase it. You talk about out-of-body experiences, out-of-Bible experiences.
Yes.
It's very important.
It is important. It is important, Sid, because here's what happens with a lot of people, especially in the supernatural. I call them Christian mystics, okay? In other words, they really just want to always have some new sensational thing that takes place. If you're driven by that, and you're driven by only experiential things, you can begin to seek things that the Bible does not authorize. As a matter of fact, that's what the sin of witchcraft really is. The sin of rebellion is equal to the sin of witchcraft, which rebellion is a violation of authority. You're doing something you're not authorized to do. And that's what witchcraft is. It's a violation of spiritual access. So that's why it's rebellion. When people do this, you're recognizing that you're going down an avenue that's absolutely not proper. So the Lord God Almighty wants us to rise up and begin to not be mystical, to not go down those avenues. We want to seek the glory. We want to seek the power of God. I'll tell you what, if the gold dust fell in here right now and the Spirit of God shook this place, I would be rolling on the floor yelling and thanking Jesus for it. But what I have to say is we shouldn't only be moved by that. We need to be moved by the Word of God, because what happens when people go down this road, they're easily deceived, they're easily led astray. And Matthew chapter 24, verse 11, it says something really powerful. False prophets will come and deceive many. That word deceive, I believe, is with the lying signs, lying wonders, people that really want an experience so bad that they dismiss foundational truth. And what that word deceive means in the Greek, it means this, and this is tragic for the body. It means to cause to wander, to cause to wander. So many times believers, they get caught up in their favorite YouTube prophet, which I am one of those. People get caught up in all this stuff. And the problem is they want the next sensational thing. We've got prediction addiction. And if we go down that road so far, what will happen is people start wandering, jumping from word to word to word instead of landing on the word. And from that place, walk in your revelation. When you do this, you become formidable to the kingdom of darkness. You're clear-eyed, you're clear-minded, you know who you are, you know whose you are, and you know what you're authorized to say and not say. And when you get past this, you won't be deceived.
Repeat these words after me to have your own experiential knowledge of God. Your own. This is for keeps right now. Say this out loud and mean it. Dear God.
Dear God.
I'm a sinner.
I'm a sinner.
And I'm so sorry.
And I'm so sorry.
I believe Jesus died for my sins.
I believe Jesus died for my sins.
And by his blood.
And by his blood.
I'm clean.
I'm clean.
And now that I'm clean.
And now that I'm clean.
Jesus, come and live inside of me.
Jesus, come and live inside of me.
I make you my Lord.
I make you my Lord.
I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
I make you my Savior.
I make you my Savior.
I make you my all in all.
I make you my all in all.
Amen.
Amen.
Joseph, look into the camera. And pray whatever God tells you to pray.
I speak the presence of God into your life right now. That shackles that have held you, addictions that have held you, fears and anxieties or rejection that has come on your life. The Lord is saying, hear me now. Awake, O sleeper. Come alive. Know it is the hour of your visitation. For behold, I come quickly, and my reward is coming with me. For I am the first and the last, and who was and is to come. And I have a reward for you. But there is much to do in this season. For I've called you, I've marked you, and have equipped you. You are what I have. You are my weapon. You are my child. You are my family. And I see the Spirit of the Lord touching people in their eyes and their dreams and unlocking the dullness some people are feeling right here. This dullness that you've experienced where you say, I used to feel the presence of God. I used to know His voice. I used to. That stops. And now I release the here and now, the miracle breath of God, the glory of God flooding your life right now. I see healing happening. I see it in joints and marrow. I see it in teeth. I see it in eyes and brain activity. I see it on your skin. For the great God Jehovah, a doctor just heard my voice, and this doctor heard my voice. Yes, the doctor. And the Lord is saying, I will minister to you and your daughter, and I will begin to work through your life, and I'm going to speak through your practice. For I have called you, and you've made mistakes, but the Lord says, come unto me, and I will cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. And I'll make a way for you where there seems to be no way, even as you lost family already. I'm making a future for you, and it's going to be well. I bless you who are watching. You're watching, and God is saying, I am with you. And I want to say something. You need to hear me right now. God is not mad at you. He's not mad at you. He wants to welcome you on the divine journey, and right now He's answering the fight inside for you. You're coming out of it. Your future is bright. Jesus is Lord. Let's come together. Let's overcome this present evil age, Galatians 1:4 says, and let's see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a monumental future. Our children are worth it. You're worth it. And Jesus deserves it. God bless you. Amen.
One more last thing. Wrists are being healed. Ooh, right now.
Right now.
You have heard the truth, and the truth has set you free.